And this morning, we're going to be studying about discipleship. Discipleship is really, really dear to my heart because I went through a process of discipleship, and it was many, many years. I needed it. We all need discipleship, right? We tend to get very comfortable in our walks. You know, we get saved, and that's awesome. Praise God. But then what? What's next? The next step is to grow in our relationship with Christ. I want to start off with sharing my testimony with you guys because it connects the process of discipleship over the last 15 years. If you guys haven't heard my testimony, I like to be very raw with it, so just letting you know. So I was born in Brawley in 1984, but most of my life I lived in Calexico. Go Bulldogs. Any Bulldogs in here? Bulldogs? Woo! And as a kid, I enjoyed going to church. I would go to church with my nana, right there, and sometimes with various aunts. Yes, you know, sometimes they would bribe me with comida gratis, tamales after and stuff, whatnot. But you know, but I genuinely I wanted to know who God is, and I kept going to church as a little kid. Again, my family would invite me. And it wasn't until around 2007, I had moved to San Diego. I wanted to study out there for computers, and I had this job, and this guy that sat next to me, his name is Eddie. I hope he's watching tonight, right now, this morning. He sat next to me, and I didn't like the guy at first. The bosses loved him more than I did. More than me, and. He was getting paid way more than I was for the exact same job, and I was coming in early, leaving late, and he was taking like these two-hour lunches. I'm like, what? Like, why is this guy, like, why is he like? But he had this gift. He has a gift of evangelism. He had this gift of communicating with people. And at that time, I was just a shy, quiet software engineer, really geeky guy, no confidence in life. And I was like, man, I want to have that type of communication with people. Like, I want to be able to move people like he does. I want to be able to influence people like that. I think that's really cool. And he was always reading. He was always reading books. And I'm like, hey, what? And one day I'm like, hey, what are you reading over there, Eddie? He's like, oh, I have my Bible, which is my main book. And then I have these other books, business books, financial literacy books. And I'm like, oh, that's kind of an interesting mix. Like, never really met anyone like that. And he's like, yeah, hey, let me, here's where the evangelism, right? What we have to do, we have to share the gospel. Say, hey, let me share one of my Bible with you, and then let me give you another book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I say, he's like, I want you to read these books. I want you to study. And I was like, okay, that's kind of interesting. So I started reading the Bible because I was like, well, you know, I kind of know who God is, but I didn't really have that personal, intimate relationship with him. So I was reading the Bible. And I was like, wow, this is pretty interesting. Like, I want to know more. And he invited me to church. We went to his church in San Diego. This was December 6, 2007. It was the name of the church, Lighthouse Baptist Church, out there in San Diego. And we sat in the very front. And I remember the preacher, the pastor, was just sharing a message and you know, when God's calling you, like, you know he's speaking to your heart. And I was like, at the end, you know, they were asking, like, well, who wants to receive Jesus into their heart? Like, who wants to repent? You know, who wants to have a relationship? And I was like, yeah, I think he's calling me. And I remember lifting my hand, standing up, and I said, yeah, like, I want to receive Jesus. Received Christ that night. Got baptized the following week, immediately, and then I started growing in my relationship with God, but at the same time, I also started growing in this new career that I was going to. As I remember, he gave me the Bible, and then he gave me the financial literacy, so I was like, oh, I don't want to do this computer stuff. I think I want to start going into, like, financial literacy stuff, so I started growing in that, and this is where really the corruption really started in my heart, where You know, I was a new Christian, but I was also experiencing the world and getting, you know, I was confusing myself with the word and a lot of these books too that I was reading, these self-help books, which they're all focused on you as you have the power, you can manifest your dreams and all this, and I started reading all this. So I was getting very confused, but I was growing. I was growing, and as a young entrepreneur too, I started making money, and again, but if you're not solid in your faith, like if you don't have the strong disciplines, and you get money, you start getting worldly success, it's going to corrupt you. It's going to corrupt you. And at this time, you know, yes, I'm going to church and all this, but I'm still heavily addicted to pornography. It's out of control. It's been many years. And I don't know how I'm going to fight this. I'm like, I'm hearing that the word of God is, you know, that this is a sword, and I'm hearing all this truth, and I'm like, Lord, please help me with this. I need help. But the corruption just kept getting, the lust of the flesh, right? If you know the lust of the flesh, it wants to feed more and more and more. And so now I'm partying. We're partying in San Diego, downtown. It's getting crazy. That's not enough, right? Sin's never enough. Then it starts escalating. I start messing around with prostitutes, and I'm just like, what is going on here? Meanwhile, nobody knows this secret dark life of mine. You know, I'm 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You know, I want to make my family proud and successful, but yet deep inside, just in a deep pit of sin. And again, it just keeps escalating and escalating. And I ended up hitting rock bottom. You know, Pastor Pete talked about this, about adultery. I hit rock bottom when I did adultery. I met this lady online, and I ended up sleeping with her, and she was married. And I knew she was married, and I just remember, like, this is going to be fun. The lust of the flesh, I was like, no one's going to know this. And I'm there, as we're there in the hotel, as she leaves. This is where I had that really God moment with her. I had that encounter with Jesus. I sat there, and I'm just like, what am I doing with my life? Like, is this the way it's going to be? Like, I'm playing Russian roulette with my health here. Like, I might end up getting HIV, crazy, something that's not, that it's going to be permanent. And I remember just pleading with the Lord. I'm like, Jesus, like, I really need your help. I'm a mess. This is the full repentance. I'm on my knees. I'm just like, Lord, I really need your help. I need you to intervene here. I can't do this on my own strength. And I pleaded to him, and I was just like, I need you to work on my heart. And the Lord was like, okay. He met me there. I experienced his grace and mercy there. He says, okay. But it's, I want you to go all in though, Pete. I want you to stop playing games. I just want you to stop being 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I want you to go all in with me. And around this time, the same guy, Eddie, who introduced me to Christ, he introduced me to a discipleship school there in San Diego at the Rock Church. It's called, at that time, it was called Impact 195. This is around 2010. And this is where I started that intimate discipleship relationship with Christ. That's why I want to talk about discipleship, because God commands us all to grow in discipleship, right? And this program, this classes, they were intense. It was no joke. It was Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. On Fridays, we served out in the community. It was really intense. A lot of us had to put our careers on hold, school. It was really intense. But I knew that I needed to go through some sort of spiritual rehab. I needed to receive so much of God's truth to cleanse me, to redeem me from just all the darkness and sin and the shame and everything. And that whole year, I received so much truth that he loves us, that we've been redeemed, that he, you know, that he paid everything on the cross. And I took all that in. I said, yes, Lord, I want all that truth. And it was just so beautiful to experience again his grace and mercy. And I was like, man, after that I left fired up for Christ, and I was like, I want more of this. I want more. I want to continue to get discipled. And my wife and I, we got led by God in 2019 to go live in Rosarito, Mexico for about 6 months. And this is where I was Googling the power of Google, right? You're like, oh, like, is there any churches around here? A Christian church near me. And then, oh, what's this Calvary Chapel Rosarito? Oh, look, honey, look, it's bilingual, English and Spanish. You know, it'll be an easier transition since we're living in Mexico. It'll be a lot easier for us to get, you know, the English side too at the same time. So we went, and I just fell in love with verse by verse teaching. And the pastor was like, hey, you know, we have a 2-year church planning pastoral school. He's like, do you are you open to it? And I said, yeah, sure. Like, you know, I said, yeah, absolutely. So he invited me to be part of this course. And I took the course. The first year was at this point, we had already moved back to San Diego. The first year I was crossing on every Monday, I was crossing to Rosarito, take the courses, and then come back at night. The second year was really hard because that's when we had moved here to El Centro. This was in 21. And I was continuing to drive from here all the way to Rosarito. It was three to three and a half hours, take the courses, and then come back sometimes the same night. But again, I share that because, like, when you're hungry for discipleship, like, nothing's gonna get in the way. Like, when you have that hunger for God's word and you want to grow, you're not gonna make any excuses. You're gonna be like, oh, okay, you know, yeah, there's a course, great, sign me up, let's do this. Like, Lord, come on, like, there's not gonna be any obstacles, any barriers. And it's been a progression of the craziness, and now God has brought me here. And it's just amazing, like God's transformation. I'm here at the pulpit teaching on a Sunday for the very first time, and I thank you guys all who are paying attention and listening. Thank you, Pastor Pete, Marcy. Thank you guys. It's an honor. God, it is an honor to be here. It is a testament of your word, the transformational power of his word, that he took me from that darkness to here. Being a son of God and having wanting to go out there and make disciples, and that is what I want to talk about today. That discipleship, it's one of those roads that is less taken today, unfortunately, right? Discipleship, it's not easy, but it's so worth it, right? The Lord will lead you on an amazing journey of radical transformation. Right? He will put seeds in you. He will put visions in you, ministries, but you have to have that open heart to want to get discipled. And I'm not perfect. Obviously, nobody's perfect, right? We, you know, a little rough around the edges. But, you know, I love serving the Lord, and I have a heart to be discipled and to disciple others. And that is what, again, we want to talk about today. If you bring up there on the screen the title. So the title of today's message is Why Discipleship? Why Discipleship? And the first thing is, so what is a disciple? Right? What is a disciple? A disciple is a student, one who follows and learns from a teacher. Who is our teacher? Jesus is our teacher, right? We are his students. How many of you guys showed up today as students of Jesus Christ? Yes? One thing that I've learned about being a student of Jesus Christ is that students who are hungry, we come prepared. We come prepared with our Bible. We come prepared with notepads to take notes. Right in front of your chairs, guys, we have these. So maybe you guys are not used to taking notes, or you're like, oh, I'm not a note taker. Well, guys, today, from now on, we start operating as disciples. When you come to church, pull this out. Pull this out, have your pen ready, and take notes. Take notes so that you can absorb more, right? Let's not just sit there with our arms crossed or right? You got to fight that pride, that little voice that's saying in your head right now, who is he? You know, he's not the pastor. Like, I'm not going to take notes I don't like taking notes. No, like, this is about being a disciple for Christ. This is about worshiping the Lord, right? Drop that pride. Like, let's take notes. Let's be hungry for the Lord, right? Because spiritual disciplines, it starts with the little things in life. It's those little things that God is looking at. So as I'm sharing today, I'm going to be asking you guys some questions. I really like engagements and challenging others. So I want to make sure that you're engaged today in the message and make sure that you're engaging back with me. We're going to have a little contest at the end. So the person who takes the most notes and the one who's engaged the most is going to get a free coffee or whatever drink they want at the end of the service, okay? We're going to put it on Andy's tab anyway, so splurge away, splurge away. So bring up a title there, screen. So again, why discipleship? Why discipleship? And we're going to look at four truths on why we need to be discipled. Note takers, put that on the note. Title, why discipleship? Four truths why we need to be discipled. Okay. First scripture that we're going to look at is Great Commission. Matthew 28:19-20. Matthew 28:19-20. So you have your Bibles, your cell phone app. It's also going to be there on the screen. Matthew 28:19-20. You guys there? Ready? Listos. It says there, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What we see here is that this is Jesus' final instructions to his disciples, right? Before he ascends into heaven, this is referred to as the Great Commission. I remember I once met this one friend, Christian man, in San Diego, and he was telling me how his dad's a pastor, and we were talking about missions and stuff like that. And he's like, you know what the only mission is in life? He's like, the only mission in life is the Great Commission. I was like, oh, I like that. The only mission in life is the Great Commission. And that will never leave me. And this is what Jesus said to his disciples. Like, hey, guys, like, I'm going to be taken off. I'm going to go. But I'm leaving you with a commandment. It says, go therefore. Where you see that word, go therefore, that is a call to action. Jesus has commanded us to do this. It doesn't say, maybe I'll do this, or maybe when I feel like it, or maybe when I become an empty nester, I'll go make disciples. No, he says, go therefore and make disciples. He said, go, right? And the verse before that in 18, Jesus declared, he says there in 18, look at what 18 says. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Again, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has the ultimate authority, right? His disciples, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to carry out this mission with confidence, with boldness. Here's a question for you guys. What is this mission? What is this mission? What are we supposed to do? Lead people to Jesus, right? Is it to make sure that we land this dream job with good benefits? Is it to spend all our free time making sure that our kids are like star athletes, they go to Ivy League schools? Please Don't think I'm knocking those things down, guys. And that's not what I'm saying here. Those are very important. Education is very important. Sports are very, very important. I played sports for many, many years. I'm all about that. We want to definitely have our kids excel in whatever they do, right? And the excellence of God. We work unto the Lord. But I'm speaking to your hearts right now, right? I'm speaking about what is the priority here. The priority is that God has told us already. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples, right? We have adopted this American gospel that Christianity is all about being happy, wealthy, comfortable, and we've forgotten that it's about building the kingdom of God. Amen? Right? Jesus tells us here that the mission is to go make disciples of all nations, guiding others into faith with Christ. That is what we're supposed to do. The second component to this passage, what does it say there? That we're supposed to baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? We see here that this highlights the Trinity, the three persons of the Godhead, is the doctrine here. Right? And the third, what is the third component of where that we're supposed to do here? It says, teach. It says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Right? This is more than just in imparting knowledge. This is the emphasis here is being obedient, right? Not merely just getting a bunch of head knowledge. Right? The Bible says, don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, right? We want to apply God's word into our life. I love this last part where it says there, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So as we're out there making disciples, we're not gonna be alone in this. The Holy Spirit is with us to help carry this mission, to continue making disciples. Right? For you note takers, this leads us to our first lesson on why we need discipleship. And that is, number one, is to follow Christ's command. Again, first lesson of why we need discipleship is, number one, to follow Christ's command. Jesus explicitly commanded all his followers to make disciples and teach others. Again, it's not if we feel like it, maybe I'll do this, or I'm not a pastor, all these. No, it's, He tells all of us, go therefore and make disciples, right? Because when we get discipled, right, it ensures that we are aligned with his great commission, right? That we're going to continue growing in faith and obedience. How many of you guys want to continue growing in faith and obedience? Show a raise of hands, right? No brainer, right? We all, it's a yes and yes, right? Praise God. I'm glad you guys want to continue to grow in your faith and obedience. Let's continue our next verse here for lesson number two. And that is in Romans 12, 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And it says here, it's on the screen as well, and it says here, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see here a section in Paul's letter to the Romans, right? We've been learning about Romans, the Pastor Pete's message, and Romans 1 and 11, Paul goes into some really deep truths about salvation. We learned about justification and sanctification. That's why it's important. Make sure you take your notes so you can go back. Here in chapter 12, we start seeing that it's a shift to apply those doctrines in our life. He's like, okay, this is what you guys got to do now. And this chapter is like, okay, go and apply it into your life. Where it says there, do not be conformed to this world. The Greek word for that is chusethmatizo. Chusethmatizo. What that means is to shape oneself or behave to a pattern or a mold, right? We are to behave a certain way. We are to be molded differently, right? Because we already know that this world is a fallen world. Yes or yes, right? It's characterized by sin. There's just rebellion against God everywhere, all the media, Hollywood, everything that you see is just, you just start seeing this rebellion against God, right? And us as believers, we have to resist the influence of the world's standards, right? Because that is a lifestyle that is contrary to God's word, right? And you see here, you see the word but, right? That's the contrast. When you see the word but, it's a change in direction. It says here, hey, like it says here, but be transformed. That word transformed in the Greek is metamorpho. Metamorpho. What does that mean? It's a radical change, much like metamorphosis. You guys know what metamorphosis is? Right? I'll share a picture there on the screen. Where do you see this type of metamorphosis, right? In butterflies. Right, they start off as larvae, and then over time they go through this radical change to become this beautiful butterfly. And these butterflies, the thing about these butterflies is that they're changing, but they're changing from the outside. Right, the transformation that is being talked about here, that's the ongoing process of us being changed from within, in our hearts, in our mind. That we are continuing to grow, just like the butterfly. We, as believers, as Christians, we are supposed to go through that process as well. If you look at the texture there, I'm going to ask you guys a question: Where is this change taking place? Where does it say there in the scripture? Where is this change taking place? In our minds, right? It says there by the renewing of your mind. That word renewing, it's a complete renovation. It's a restoration into a new state, a new state of being. We're renewing our minds, right? Because our thinking is what influences our behaviors and our actions. When we renew our minds through God's truth, it's going to allow us to see life from his perspective, not from the world's corrupted view. The more that we are in his word, again, we're going to be able to see his perspective, not the world's perspective. I have a question for you guys. You guys want to know what's the most valuable piece of real estate? Anybody ever? That's a good one, huh? What's the most valuable piece of real estate? Picture there. Here on earth. It ain't La Jolla in San Diego, or some beachfront property in Cancun. Most valuable piece of real estate here on earth, it's 6 inches, about 5 to 6 inches. Can you guess where that is? That one's probably, what the heck? What are you talking about, 5 to 6 inches? Bring up the next slide there. The most valuable piece of real estate is from one ear to the other ear, and that is our mindset. Our mindset, right? If you're going to renew your mind, you have to protect it. The Bible says that you have to hold your thoughts captive, right? You have to guard what you're letting in your mind. Right? If you're watching news all day, which is mostly all negative news, right? CNN, constant negative news. Think about what you're allowing in your mind, right? All you're going to do is just build up hate, anger, bitterness. Think about the movies that we watch, the music that we listen to, right? All that stuff goes into our mind, and it compounds, it grows over time. And all that stuff most likely isn't bringing more of God's presence. It's not bringing glory to God, right? Every single year, as we approach New Year's Day, right, we should really pause for a moment and reflect what God did in our minds. Like, wow, Lord, like, you really helped me with my anger, or, man, you really helped me with this. Like, I used to be so depressed, and I used to be so full of anxiety, and because of being in your word, like, I no longer think that way. That's the power of constantly renewing your mind with the word of God, right? Because nobody here wants to be stuck in life. Like, I'm pretty sure that all of you guys want to be used by God. You want to be producing much spiritual fruit, right? And so does God. God wants to see spiritual fruit produced in you, right? But we have to constantly be renewing our minds. I love that picture there. Is it just, right? It's just like, you see that the gears, the clockwork happening in our minds. I love that illustration there. But again, what are we feeding our minds with, right? Is it worldly stuff, or are we getting in the word so that we can be in his presence as much as possible, right? What are some ways that we can renew our minds? All right, what do you guys think? What are some ways that we can renew our minds? What do you guys think? Being in the word. Being in the word. Anyone else? Fellowship. Good one. Prayer. Who said prayer? Prayer. Fasting. Yep. Right. Prayer. Studying scripture. Here's a good one. Applying scripture. You guys ever heard that saying that knowledge is power? You guys heard that one? You go to school and they have it. They used to have it like in. I'm like, I think they need to update that. They forgot a key word in there. They forgot to put a key word in the front of that. You guys know what that key word is? What was that? Application. Yes. Applied knowledge is power. Not just knowledge by itself. It's useless unless you apply it in your life. You can get all this head knowledge. Intellectually, you'll be smart. But if you're not applying it, that's really foolish. That's not being smart. That's being foolish to not apply. And especially God's word. He breathed his very breath. It says here, he breathed his word here. Like this, this is the only book that was ever written where the author will sit down with you and he will explain why he wrote what he wrote. He's willing to sit down with us and be like, let me give you the answer to what you're seeking. Let me help you with that. Like, and again, we have to apply the scripture in our life, right? Lastly, we have to yield to the Holy Spirit, right? Because that's where we draw the power from, not us. We don't have any power. We want that Acts 1:8. That's the type of power that we want, right? Those apostles had the power. They were so filled with the Holy Spirit, and God used them powerfully to spread the gospel. That's the type of power that we want, right? And as we continue to renew our minds, we're going to be able to discern what is morally upright and beneficial in your life, right? The more that we get in here, we're going to, you know what? That doesn't sound right. Or, you know what? I don't think that's where I should be walking. What does the word of God say, right? Because what happens is when we are renewing our minds in God's word, it's going to please God, right? Why? Because it's aligned with his perfect character, his purpose for our life. For you note takers, this brings up our second lesson about why we need discipleship. Again, second lesson of why we need discipleship, there on the screen. Number two is discipleship leads us to be transformed in Christ's likeness. Number two, discipleship leads us to be transformed in the likeness of Christ. Right? Discipleship helps us to us as believers to renew our minds. We start adopting Christ-like character. We start transforming our lives to reflect God's will and purpose in our life. Right? But we have to have that heart to want to be discipled. Let's continue our study here on lesson three. And we're going to be looking at a verse that talks about producing fruit. As you could, so speaking about fruit, though, I want to share with you guys some really quick one-liner jokes about fruit, if you don't mind here. So, again, I want you guys to be engaged. I'm going to ask you questions, so be engaged. So, number one, here's the fruit here. What do you get when two peas fight? What do you get when two peas fight? Anyone? Split peas? That's a good one. That's a good one. Peace. Bring it up. Black eyed pea. Oh, yeah. Come on. Next one. Why were the strawberries so upset? Why were the strawberries so upset? Because they were in a jam. Yes. Man, we got some good ones over here. Got a free drink over here. Last one. What kind of fruit can fix your clogged sink? What kind of fruit can fix your clogged sink? Yes, a plumber. That was an easy one. A plumber. I'm glad you guys liked those ones. Amen. Well, the next verse that we're going to be looking at is John 15:8. Again, it's John 15:8. It'll be there on the screen as well. And it says here that, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Again, by this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Jesus is talking about a very intimate relationship here with his believers. And he's using this metaphor of the vine and the branches. I'm going to share a picture there on the screen. Right? Who is the vine? Jesus. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. Right? We have to remain connected to him, the vine, to be able to produce fruit in our life. Look at what it says in John 15:5. It says, this is Jesus speaking. It says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, that word abide is drawing near. So as you draw near in me and I draw near him, look, what's gonna happen out of that? It says, you're gonna bear much fruit. For without me, you can do what? Nothing. Without him, we can do nothing. So when we're out there producing spiritual fruit, God is glorified, right? That is what the ultimate purpose of bearing fruit is, to bring glory to God the Father. Amen? Right? Our life as believers, it should be reflecting God's greatness. It should be reflecting his love, the power, that the Holy Spirit, right? We should be seeing fruit come out of our life. And how much fruit? What does it say there? God wants to see much fruit, right? He wants it to be visibly evidenced. He's like, man, that person's life is transformed. Look at all that fruit that they're producing. It is so visible that you can see their spiritual fruit, right? What are some of the fruits of the Spirit? I'm going to bring them there on the slides. All right, that's love, peace, patience, yes, joy, self-control, yes, doing good works, right? Being in obedience, making disciples, those are all fruits of the Spirit. And producing some fruit is good, right? Producing some fruit is good. But producing much fruit is even better. That's what it says, right? It says go produce much fruit, right? There's no limit to how much fruit we can produce, right? Because God is glorified by a life that is overflowing spiritually. Your spirit has a spiritual production in your life, and you're growing in maturity. God's like, yes, keep going, keep going, keep growing, keep getting discipled. Right? But the key here is that bearing much fruit, we have to understand that we cannot do it on our own strength. Right? We have to be connected to the vine. Again, when we're abiding in him, right, we're drawing near to him, we're in his word, that's where we're going to see, right, that God is the source of the fruitfulness. Look at that. Look at what it says there in the last part of the verse. It says what? You will be my disciples. You will be my disciples. Genuine discipleship is marked by visible fruitfulness, right? Again, when you see a genuine, you're like, man, you can just see the fruit in that person's life, right? And we all want to continue to grow so that we can see more and more fruit, because again, that brings glory to God, right? When we bear fruit, that is a pathway to a deeper relationship with Christ. How so? Because it demonstrates a life of obedience. It demonstrates a life that we've been shaped by Jesus' teaching. And this leads us to our third lesson on why we need to be discipled. Number three is to bear much spiritual fruit. Third reason why we need to get discipled again, to bear much spiritual fruit. Nothing wrong again with bearing little baby fruit, as you see there on the screen. Nope, that's not the one. There's like fruit. I don't know if you have the fruit pictures. There we go. There we go. Oh, little baby. Oh, little baby watermelon. Oh, yeah. Right. There's not right. It's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with building a little bit of baby fruit. Right. It's cute. It's nice. Like, oh, look, you know. But what does the word say here? It says much fruit. Next slide. Boom! Come on. Come on. Went a little overboard with the AI picture there, huh? Yes. Whoa, that's... God wants us to produce much fruit, as much as possible. But again, we have to be connected to the vine. Let's finish off our study today, and we're going to look at the fourth lesson. The next verse we're going to take a look at is Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Again, that's Colossians 2, 6 through 7. That's there on the screen as well. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. And it says there, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Paul was writing to this Colossian church, and he had this deep concern for their spiritual well-being. He's like, I want to check in, see how they're doing, right? Because at that time, the Colossians, those people, they were going through a lot of cultural and spiritual pressures from what was going on at that time. So that's the audience that, again, that Paul was speaking to. There was persecution, there was paganism, there was Judaism, there's just all these things that to confuse the believers. So he's like, hey guys, like stand, you know, be faithful. And it says there, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul was reminding the Colossians about their commitment and their identity with Christ. Right? Because discipleship begins with receiving Jesus both as Savior and Lord. Right? When you're a disciple, you've acknowledged that Jesus is the authority in your life and that you want to follow him wholeheartedly. Right? Look at what it says there. It says, so walk in him. So walk in him. This signifies this ongoing active lifestyle where you're wanting to draw near to the Lord. You're walking in righteousness. You want to walk in his teachings and his example. That's what it says. So walk in him. Because discipleship is not a one-time decision and then that's it. No, it's a continuous lifestyle. It shapes your obedience. Your faith when you follow him, it's a continual thing. Right? I want to share a picture there on the screen there as an illustration. So around the world, there's certain banks of certain rivers, right? They're lined up with this substance called near quicksand. So it's not quicksand like how we know it. It's almost quicksand. So it's called near quicksand. So it's around the rivers. If you keep walking near this quicksand, you know, you won't have too much of a problem. But if you stop, you'll start what? Sinking. And eventually you're going to get sucked in completely. And so too with our Christian walk. If we don't keep walking in our Christian experience and our fellowship with him, we too start sinking, right? We have to keep moving in the direction of Christ, where he wants us to go, to walk in the same way as Christ has told us to walk, found here in his word. It says there, rooted and built up in him. This word rooted, it suggests this. It's a deep, stable foundation, like a tree that has these roots so deep in the ground that it's pulling the nourishment, and this tree is thriving. This tree is producing fruit. It's not dying. It has its roots firm into the soil, again, to draw that nourishment. It's important that we recognize that Christ is that firm foundation, right? Through his word, the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus is that foundation. We as believers, we are called to deepen our relationship with Christ, right? We're called to grow in faith and to grow in maturity. We have to be built up. But without being rooted in Christ, our spiritual growth, it becomes unstable. We don't grow, right? We build up those strong spiritual roots in Christ so that we don't fall away. Right? It says here in the text, and established in the faith as you have been taught. And established in the faith. This speaks of consistency. As disciples of Christ, we have to have solid ground in the truth of his gospel and Christian doctrine, right? Paul's reminding here the Colossians that, hey guys, don't forget the teachings that you've already received. Like, remain loyal, remain steadfast to the understandings that of God's truth. Because discipleship requires regular learning. It requires reflecting on biblical teaching. It's going to help us guard against false doctrines, against misleading teachings. The Colossians, they were being exposed to all that. And even today, we're still being exposed to that. There's still false doctrine, false prophets. The more that we know the Word of God, the more like, that's not aligned with Scripture. Right? Pastor Pete talks about that all the time. Like, that's not aligned with Scripture. And lastly, it says they're abounding in it with thanksgiving. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. What that word abounding means, it means to be overflowing, having a life full of faith, right? And then there, the addition there says what? With thanksgiving, right? It highlights the importance of being grateful in the journey as a believer, right? Because as disciples, we're characterized by our thankfulness to God, regardless of what's going on in our life. Doesn't matter what's going on in our life. As believers, we should always remain thankful, right? Because gratitude, what that does, when we're grateful, it strengthens our trust in God, right? It nurtures this joyful, thriving relationship with him. And when we're grateful, that's such a powerful testimony to others all around us. It's going to encourage those around us to be like, wow, like, you know, you're never worried, or you're always so joyful. And people are going to see the goodness of Christ in you, right? And when we're thankful, that's going to guard us against being discouraged, and it's going to keep us focused on God's faithfulness in our life, not our circumstances, right? We don't want to be like this picture here on the screen, you know, all discouraged, be like, you know, poor me. No. We want to live in victory. We want to live in the fruits of the Spirit, the joy, the love. Next slide. We want to have this heart, this mindset of gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for taking me out of that pit where I was, and you've transformed my heart and my mind. Thank you, Lord. And never forget that every single day when you wake up, wow, Lord, like, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve, but you've shown me so much grace and mercy. And this leads us to our final lesson on why we need discipleship. And that's number four, why we need discipleship is to be strengthened in faith and endurance. Again, number four is to be strengthened in faith and endurance. Discipleship will ground us as believers in our faith. It's going to help us grow stronger. We're going to remain steadfast, and we're going to live a life grateful to God, even in the midst of trials. Right? So as we recap here on what we learned today, again, the lessons is that number one is, again, to why we need discipleship is God has commanded us to go, therefore, and make disciples. He said, go, therefore, and make disciples. Again, it's not when we feel like it, when we're empty nesters, when I have $1 million in my bank account. No, he says, go, therefore, and make disciples. Number two, discipleship leads us to be more transformed, right? When we're growing as a discipleship, automatically we're going to grow in his image. And with that, what comes out of that? We get to bear much spiritual fruit. Not the little baby fruit, that's fine, but God is like, I want you to bear much fruit in your life. And lastly, we saw that it's going to help us be strengthened in our faith. It's going to help us strengthen in our faith, So I pray that God spoke to you today about discipleship, and in your mind, or you had the thought, like, man, you know what? I really need to get discipled. Like, I have been putting this on the back burner. Well, we have some really great news for you, right? Us as a church, we are here to equip you guys. We're to equip the saints for good work. We have some really good news for you guys. We're looking to start a school of discipleship. I've been talking to Pastor Pete about this, and when we're looking to launch this sometime around September. I'm throwing that out there because I need that extra accountability and be like, oh, what happened to that thing you said? No, like, so if I throw it out there in front of all you guys, then I have to hold myself, okay? Because God has told us again to go therefore and make disciples. So it's going to be awesome, guys. Just a little sneak peek of what you're going to be learning. You're going to be learning how to study the Word of God. You're going to be creating little mini sermons. It's going to be so much fun. We have this 1 week, it's called Design Week, where you're going to be learning about your spiritual gifts. We're going to help you take a personality test, strength and finders test. You're going to see how God has uniquely designed you, and it's going to help you to better equip you, and it's also going to help us so that we can see where you're better equipped, so we can help guide you based on your uniquely given God gifts and talents. It's going to be so much fun. Is it going to be challenging? Of course. Discipleship is always challenging. Life is always challenging, but it's worth it. Again, because as a church, we're here to equip you to do the good works of God. So be on the lookout for future announcements about this so we can give you more details about this. But as we end here, ultimately, we want everyone to be discipled, right? God said, go therefore. He wants all of us to be discipled. But the most important thing is that we need to make sure that you're saved first, that you are born again, right? We ask a very important question to all our guests in person or watching online, and that question is, are you born again? Because Jesus made it very clear. He says, look what it says there on the screen. He says, what does his very word say? It says, I tell you the truth, that no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. That's not us, the church, saying. That's Jesus saying. He says, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. Right? If you're here and you've never given your life to Christ, well, you have that opportunity to do it today. Don't wait. Don't wait. You never know if you might, something might happen, an accident or something, and then you're there face to face with the creator of this world, of the universe. You're there face to face, and you're like, hey, God. And he's like, hey, what he say? I know you. I know you. And he tells you, and by your first name, he's like, you produce much fruit in my kingdom. Come in. Come in, my son, or come in, my daughter, right? Or would he say what it says in Matthew? Is it Matthew 7:21, where he says, I don't even know you. Oof, that's a scary verse. He's like, I don't even know you. Like, depart from me. And we're not saying that to scare you. We're saying that is the good news, that Jesus died on the cross for all of us so that we don't have to go to hell, that we have eternal life. But he made it very clear. He's like, hey, you have to be born again. So if you've never done that for the very first time, I'm not talking about recommitting, I'm talking about for the very first time, right? The Bible says that a person like you must do two things. Number one, it's called the repentance of sin. You must repent. You must ask Jesus for forgiveness. Lord, I am so sorry. I've been living in sin. I'm living in rebellion. Please forgive me, Lord. The second part to that is believing in Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Have you ever done that? Have you ever asked God to do a full repentance of your sin and for him to come live in your heart? If you've never done that, we just want to pray for you. We want to pray for you right now. Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, if there's anybody here who has not received you for the very first time, they don't have a relationship with you. They don't know where they're going to spend their eternal life, Father God. They've been so in bondage by their sin, and they're just ready to let that go. They're ready to ask for forgiveness. If that's you, will you just do us a favor and just raise your hand so that we can pray for you? If you're ready to receive Christ, God's been calling you again for the very first time. If there's anybody here who wants to receive Christ for the very first time, I just asked, just raise your hand so that we can pray for you. All right? Salvation is a free gift. It's not by our works. Right? It's by His grace. But you have to come to Jesus. You have to ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. So again, as we end here, is there anybody here who wants to make that decision for the very first time? Just ask that you just raise your hand so we can pray for you. Amen. Lord, we're just so thankful, Lord. Thank you for dying on the cross for us. We don't deserve any of this life, Lord. Your grace and mercy is beyond our comprehension as human beings. Forgive us when we've fallen short. Father God, this topic of discipleship, you've commanded us to go therefore and make disciples. Father God, just light a fire in us, Heavenly Father, to want to be discipled so that we can go out there and produce much fruit for your kingdom. We want to glorify your name. So, Father God, continue to work on our hearts. Thank you for everybody who serves here. Your works are seen by the Lord. And we acknowledge you for your first serving. It's not easy. For those of you guys who are out there sowing seeds, you're plowing, you're talking to your family members, you're talking to your co-workers, and they're not wanting to receive Christ, hey, it's okay. Let God be in control of the results. You just go out there, love on them, and share what God has radically done in your heart. So Lord, thank you for waking us up. Thank you, Jesus, today, for giving us another day. Lord, we lift up our families to you. We lift up our spouses to you. Protect us from any spiritual warfare. Continue to direct our steps. Lord, thank you that you've given us your very word here. Thank you, Lord. So, Father God, just be with us all for the continuing of this day. Thank you for speaking to us, all of us, Father God, on why we need to be discipled and what your word says about it. So thank you, Lord, and we pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen.